I am. Tanya Basta is listed as the main author on this. Tanya is not here. She's really involved in APHA, and if you know her, but she's not here. She's quite pregnant, and I'm the principal investigator on this project, so I thought it would be okay if I filled in for her. So I'm going to talk to you today about a community engagement project we've been working on for almost 2 years at a federal facility in Southeast Ohio. The presentation is going to give you a brief outline of this facility, and then I'm going to talk to you about some of the community engagement methods that we used, and then some of the results and the next steps for the project. So first of all, the facility is called PORTS, and it's short for the Portsmouth Gaseous Diffusion Plant. So it's called PORTS. So from here on out, I'll probably refer to it as PORTS. It was built between 1952 and 1956, and it comprises a little over 3,700 acres in Southeast Ohio. It was the last of three facilities constructed by the Department of Energy to enrich uranium for Cold War era nuclear defense, and later for fuel for commercial nuclear power. The other two facilities were in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and Paducah, Kentucky. It was placed in cold standby in 2001, which meant that even though they stopped enriching uranium, they maintained preparation so that they could go back online if they needed to, if there was some need for, if all of a sudden we had a nuclear power plant boom and they needed the fuel. So it was in a cold standby in 2001, and then 5 years later, the Department of Energy placed it in cold shutdown, which pretty much said uranium enrichment will cease at this facility in 2006. Currently, the entire 3,700 acres is going through a process of what Department of Energy calls decontamination and decommissioning, which is really their term for cleanup. That's what's happening at the site. Just to give you an overview of where the site is, this is Appalachia, Ohio. Appalachia is part of Ohio. Southeast Ohio is considered, it's designated an Appalachian region by the Appalachian Regional Commission. And actually, 2 years ago, we added three additional counties up here. And the Portsmouth Gaseous Diffusion Plant, it was located in Pike County. And the four counties that we worked with, this community outreach project, surrounded the facility. And they include Ross County, Pike County, Jackson County, and Scioto County. Over here is West Virginia. And you can see that it's all four of those counties are in Appalachia, Ohio. This is an aerial shot of the site, and it has some distinguishing characteristics for a Department of Energy facility. First of all, it has the three largest buildings of any Department of Energy facility in the country. And these are the three largest buildings. Their DOE, with their very creative naming, the X-326 is a half mile long. It has a 30-acre roof, and it's 2.6 million square feet altogether. The X-330 is a half mile long, a 33-acre roof, 2.8 million square feet. And the X-333 is a quarter mile long, 33-acre roof, 2.8 million square feet. And because this is really fresh in my mind, let me just ask you, who remembers the movie Silkwood? Remember seeing, I just showed it to my class, who they don't know anything about it because they're all so young. But kind of what that, if you can picture her going into those, like the big concrete building with no windows or anything, that's kind of what I envisioned was going on at Piketon during the late 1950s and up until about the 1970s. When workers would go in and they would spend all day on their feet doing a uranium enrichment process. Okay, so the regional population. This map right here are our unemployment rates in the state of Ohio as of May 2011. And I want you to note that Pike County right here, where the plant is located, has the dubious distinction of having the highest unemployment rate in the state. Okay. And Jackson County is not far behind. Ross and Scioto, all four counties are above the state average, which is about 8.5%, and these are all in the double digits. And in terms of the overall population of that region, the four counties, it's about 203,000 people, which is about a tenth the size of the city of Columbus, which is the capital of Ohio. You all aren't distracted, are you? Okay. All right, I'll speak louder. All right, so now, before I go any further, because we have, it's a small group, let me just pause for a second and see if you have a question about the facility itself. Yes?
If you haven't told me because the plant shut down.
That's a big part of it, and then there was one other manufacturing facility in Pike County that shut down earlier this year as well. At the time the plant was built, between the 1952 and 1956, there were 27,000 people employed in construction of the plant, and right now there are a little over 2,000 employed at the plant site, and all they're doing is they're working as contractors doing cleanup. All right, so what we were tasked to do, we received a grant from the Department of Energy, and we were tasked to go into those, to define a community of concern, and to go into those communities and find out what they would like to see happen at that site once they're done cleaning up. You know, this is a resource that's available for the community. What would you like to see there? So we went through a process that was kind of iterative. We started small with some key informants interviews. We found about 8 people to interview that had a broad history, worked at the plant, or were community activists or local government officials. And we had in-depth interviews with these people, recorded them. They were each over an hour long. Then we did some community engagement, which I'm going to talk about some of the techniques that we used. We did some actual formative research, which involved focus groups, and I'll share that with you too. We did a telephone survey, which was a little more quantitative and was a random sample of the four counties, visioning teams, and then some public preference polling. Okay, so our key informants. We had 8 individuals that we spoke to, I'm sorry, 8 interviews, 14 individuals that we spoke to. We developed this semi-structured interview guide that really built on their knowledge of the plant, their knowledge of the facility, you know, what they think people want there, what happened there, anything we could get from these key informants we went after, because we really had a lot to learn about the facility ourselves. And the outcome really of those 8 interviews were we had a really a much better understanding of the plant, of the history of the facility, of the people who live around the plant, and of the community. We also asked for some additional contact information, and we had some opinions from these key informants about what they think the public knows about that site. So then we moved on. Once we did the key informants and we had all this background, we moved on to some actual community-based engagement where we tried to get out into the communities and talk to people, real people, about the plan. And you know, what do you think should go there? You know, what's the most important? Is the plant important for the region? A wide variety of things. We went to all 4 county fairs twice. We went once in 2010 and once in 2011. We have a website. We developed a website. We developed a brand, which you see our logo here in the corner. And we did some focus groups. So just to show you, this was our county fair display. The first time we went out to the county fairs last year, all 4 county fairs, was basically just to introduce people to what we were doing and to ask them if they would be interested in participating in the process. So we had these little contact cards people would sign out. Our fill out, and then we gathered a database of people who just kind of walk and buy the fairs. The website views, this is for the whole history of the project, and we're pretty happy. These are unique visitors to the website. We started in June 2010 with, you know, around 20, and by the time we finished this year, during the month of September, we hit close to 2,000 hits, unique hits, not returning hits. And when I explain to you our public voting, you'll see why that was so high in September. This was our brand, and we actually worked with a public relations student who helped us develop this brand. And so we tried to put this on everything that we, all the materials we distributed, all of our website and everything else so that people would recognize us. We did some formative research in terms of using focus groups. We had 3 focus groups in 3 different counties. And we just had an open invitation for, we put it in the paper. We also went after the contact cards that we gathered from the fair, asked people to come to these focus groups and talk about the site. We learned really quickly, almost the first day, that people refer to the site as the A plant. Okay? And when you say, do you guys know Portsmouth Gas? They're like, what? Oh, you mean the A plant. I think we learned that the first day we were going to even talk to people who work at the plant. We were in the diner near the plant, and we looked really out of place. And the waitress said, are you guys here to go to the A plant? We're like, what? So that's what we used. And when we were at the fair, people would walk by. If they heard A plant, they would say, oh, yeah, yeah, they'd come over and talk to us. So that's why you see the A plant in here. These are some of the questions that we used in running the focus groups. Tanya and I did every focus group. We did all the interviews, too. We asked about, you know, what are your community priorities? How important is the plant to the future of the site? If someone from outside the region asked you what was going on at the plant, how would you describe it? Really, really interesting. We recorded and transcribed all of those, and then we did some analysis on those, and we have a paper out right now from the focus groups. The focus group results, these are four of the categories that came up, is that really that site is a symbol for job creation. There was also a lot of concerns about secrecy, some of the stories we heard from people who had worked at the plant for years and years, some of the stuff they were telling us. There's a lot of skepticism and mistrust about how the plant is managed and what kind of information is coming out. And most people want more information. That's what we heard. And this is an example of that in that category of a symbol for job creation. You know, this was transcribed that it represents a lot of good jobs. I came from a junkyard, no education. And this was actually a person, he was really interesting. He worked at the plant, very, very not happy with the Department of Energy, really a lot of secrecy. He told a lot of really interesting stories. But on the other hand, he said, if I didn't work there, my kids could not have gone to college. So it was a lot of people had the same kind of feelings and reactions to the plant. Our telephone poll, we did a random sample of 1,000 people in the four-county region. We asked a lot of questions. One of the questions were, what do you most support that plant being used for once it's cleaned up? And we start to see our first indication, what's your most preferred and your least preferred future use of the site? And we start to see some indication that the random sample, this is 747, that were familiar with the site, 68% of them preferred most that it be used for energy production, and the least preferred was that it be used for recreation. We did two kickoff events. We were building to this, what are these scenarios for the future? These are people in action at our kickoff events. We had 103 or so people at each of the events talking about, you know, what about the future? What are some ideas for the site? Ultimately, we did the two kickoff events. We had 8 community visioning meetings, 2 in each county. And then we had this advisory group, and the advisory group developed 9 possible scenarios for the future of the site. And this is one of the, this is what a scenario looks like. What about an industrial park that could include all of these things and could have something along the lines of these value-added things as well at the site? So we had 9 of these. Then we went back to the public and we asked them, all right, what about these 9? Which ones do you like the best? So we went back to the county fairs and we had ballot voting. And we also posted voting on our website. And this was one way we were trying to get people to go to our website. We put up a billboard. We had some money to only do one billboard. It was kind of a bummer, though. We've just finalized the report. It won't be released for a couple of months yet. But we asked people, how did you hear about the voting? And I think only 3% saw it through the billboard. So just, you know, a little lesson learned there. The public voting results were really interesting because we had about 300 or so vote at the county fair, no, 400 vote at the county fairs, and the remainder of this 1,141 voted online. And of those 9 scenarios you see there, they could vote for up to 3 that they most preferred. The nuclear power plant came up to be the most preferred of the 9. So it's really got us talking about all the papers that could come out of this now in terms of environment versus economy and what that means. And it's more interesting because that advisory group that developed the 9 scenarios, they actually used we provided a lot of data, but they used way more data, we think, than the public did in the ballot voting and online to rank the 9 scenarios. So the advisory group were comprised of 2 individuals from each of the 4 counties. So there were 8 of them altogether. And they worked for several hours with these scenarios and ranked them. And they actually ranked the nuclear power scenario number 8 out of number 9. And the public voting has it coming out number 1 of number 9. So, yeah, there's lots of ways we can go with this. And so stay tuned for what we might what might come out of this and what our analysis of this might be, because we haven't gotten to that stage yet. So I think we're all really pumped up. We've done this great job. We've got all these people involved more than ever before. Throughout the whole process, we would receive probably weekly emails from an environmental activist in the community. And at first, we were always responding. We would take time and respond, you know, really long emails. We would have a really long response. And then it just got to the point where we just couldn't manage it anymore. And I remember from my days at EPA, you have to kind of prioritize who are you going to put your resources to. So we've gotten to this point now. We've got the report finalized. We're waiting for approval to submit it. And it summarizes all this work we've done. And just so you know, to keep us humble, I just want to close on this quote from an email I got from the activists on Monday. This Monday, while I was here, he said, quotes, "You misread the situation. According to your preset model, you thought the community was ready for consensus building when actually this community required disclosure and information, not the happy face of consensus. We as a community will get to consensus, but only after the truth and justice phase is finished. We need law enforcement, not sing-alongs." So take a deep breath, and we'll see, you know, what's next. So just to close, the next steps are our final report that summarizes our outcomes, and then we hope, we haven't made promises to anybody, but we hope that Department of Energy will use the work that we've done on future decisions about the future of the site. So I'll stop there. Okay?